that's where we're going to go. It's Pentecost Sunday. I've taught the depths of Pentecost over the years, and most of the church leaves, huh? They do. Because we're not interested in having to work for what God has made available. We sort of like church to just be a buffet, to where we can come and get what we want and leave the rest. Oh, come on. And so I toiled all week which direction to go, and I almost taught I was going to take you back to Genesis and show you Pentecost in Genesis, because most people don't even believe it was there, but it was. And yet I believe about to change the message on a dime, so hang on. Yet I believe we get hung up in the church on what was and not what is. What is he doing now? Not about what he did in the 80s, what he used to do in tent revival, or when our churches used to be packed because we couldn't sit at home with our coffee and watch. But they were packed out of hunger and desperation. Go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter. Hang on. And we're not going to do Acts 2. Because we know that Brandon read that already. And suddenly, there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, right? I want to take you to after Pentecost, to a moment when the church got hung up. Just five chapters later, the Pentecost came, they were all filled, the church was added to by 3,000, they said that day. You know, wouldn't you like to see 3,000 people get saved here? And yet, even after God moved so mightily and they were endued with power from on high, as promised by Jesus, remember he said, I must go. So that another, a replacement, instead of me can come. He prepared them for it, and yet, just like we are today, we get okay with what is and what was, and we get comfortable. And I want to remind you today that we serve a God that is moving. All through Scripture. In Genesis even. In the very beginning of, I'm going to go back to that other word in a moment. Gee. Even in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? And the earth was out, form and void. Right. And darkness was over the face of the waters. And it says, and the Spirit was moving. Right? Thank you, Connie. And the Spirit was moving. And then it goes on and it says, after the Spirit was moving and God said, notice that the Spirit moved and then he spoke. Notice in Acts 2, the Spirit moved and suddenly there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. That's movement. And then he spoke. When he spoke through man in other tongues. That's you'll see that consistently through Scripture. And again in Revelation it says that he will come. He will move and he will speak. You will always find consistencies. There's always a thread of authenticity all through the Word. What you see in Genesis, you will always see again. And yet, we know Acts, and we know the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We know how awesome it is. And yet we have reduced the Holy Ghost to goosebumps. I can get goosebumps listening to a good love song. You know, I can get goosebumps watching a sad movie. I'm one of those. I'm sappy. But that is not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is even more than praying in tongues. And yet we've limited him to that. We've deduced him to so much less than what he is. And yes, I said he, because the Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. It's not mysteriously roaming about. He has purpose. And when he comes in a room like he did today, he has purpose, an assignment. He comes to move and then speak. Anytime you've experienced movement and not speaking, beware. Because he's always consistent. If it is he who is moving, then it will be he who is speaking. And the other way to know that it's Holy Spirit, some people say, well, how do you know it's God? Because the Holy Spirit will never speak, the Bible says in the book of John, in and of himself. He can only speak and say what the Father has said. So it will always line up with what has already been spoken and a part of his deity and character. Uh-huh. Now are you ready? Now we'll get into the text. What did I say? Acts chapter 8. Yeah, let's look at Acts 8 and 1 through 5. Now remember, this is after Pentecost. Because I don't want to preach that to you. I want to preach to what happens the day after Pentecost, if we're not careful. Acts 8, 1 through 5. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. I know nobody in here never ignores what they're supposed to be doing. The apostles sure did. It says in verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 4, look at that again. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Stop there. I'll try to give you a little background and expand on this text just a little bit, but I want to stop there for the sake of time. The book of Acts is all about the Acts of the Apostles, but it is also the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You've heard me say over and over again, it's the one book of the Bible that's still being written today, and you're in it. Because there are still acts, and the power of the Holy Spirit is still moving. And so it is a recording of the Acts of the Apostles, but also the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Remember, I said that God moves. He is a moving spirit, right? He is always moving, right? And so he's moving in our churches. He's trying to move in our lives. We serve a God that is moving, right? Just as I mentioned in Genesis, and the Spirit of God was moving or hovering, it says maybe in some translations, right? And he continues to be a God that's moving. And yet the question is, as it really could be posed in the text, and the question is posed to the church today, if God is a moving God, then why is the church so still? Now, ask yourself that question. If God is a moving God, then why am I so still? Just think about that for a moment. Hallelujah. Because he's a moving God. Most of the time, the Holy Spirit will enter into a church, and a lot of times they don't even recognize that he's moving, and they choose to be still in spite of his movement. And yet when he comes in to move, it's to usher you and I into move us. The purpose of the Spirit of God moving is to move us, in part, from one place to another, from one level to another, to take us deeper, to take us further. Right? The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, it's not to get you and I just to shout and to jump. Again, that's us reducing the Holy Ghost to a jump and a shout. That may be part of the manifestation of what happens to you when the Holy Ghost is moving in a service, in a room, in your shower, when you're driving down the road. Because don't limit Holy Ghost to a service. The truth of the matter is if you and I would really begin to understand who the Holy Spirit is, you don't need us on the instruments to praise him. You and I don't need a Hammond B3 to get happy in the Lord. Cindy. She doesn't like the Hammond organ, so it's upstairs. You don't need any of those things to have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. But that's what we've required. That's what we've established in the church, that without platform celebrities and a whole lot of hype, then we can't praise him. That the Holy Spirit isn't there. Wonder if next Sunday we'd come in and the instruments would sit down and there would be no one leading worship, and I just got up and said, now, I want everybody just to begin to make a noise to the Lord. Some of you would be flat. Some of you would sound like a dying cow. Others of you would be anointed and, I mean, barreling. Then others of us would be like, we don't know what to do. Because we've never been taught to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Instead, he's here because I have goosebumps. No, that's the air conditioning. I'm so for real. I've preached in some churches, and when I said, the Holy Ghost is here, if you need something from God, and they did not know what to do, despite the altar call. I've heard people say, I don't know why I'm crying like I am, because it's the Holy Ghost. Shame on you, preachers. Because you've done God a great big injustice, and you're not doing your job. Retire early. I'm so for real. Because if we're not introducing you, that's the reason why we can serve God hot now and yet we fall short tomorrow. Because I've not learned the benefit of the Holy Ghost in my life. It's almost like we think Jesus has to die again and again. And he doesn't. If we would learn to rely on and lean on and call on Holy Ghost, I need you. Hello. It was a mistake the church in the Acts chapter 8, good Lord. You try to pin me in, I'll kick him across the room. That's why there's no altar rail here, because it would never hold me. We cannot make the mistake, hear me. And I believe this is for today. I think that's why I went in a different direction, is that we cannot get hung up. It's a critical time. As a nation, as the people of God, and even more specifically for our church, do not get hung up. Trying to stay in the same place and the same things. So if he is a moving God, if he is a moving spirit, then why are you so still? Why are you so still? Glory to God. Are you still with me? The Bible teaches us that Jesus led the apostles as far as Bethany. And then, if you remember earlier in Acts, then he tells them, but I want you to go on to Jerusalem. And the very place that he told them to go, they ended up hanging around a little extra longer. They went to Jerusalem and waited on the Holy Spirit. It's just after the day of Pentecost, and they were introduced to the Holy Ghost. After that day, they stayed. When he said, when he told them and gave them instructions after Pentecost, now go here and there and everywhere and preach the gospel. But instead, others had gone, but the apostles had stayed. My Lord. In other words, there are dangers for you and I when you and I stay in one place too long. There are dangers for you and I if we're not listening to what God is saying and we stay in one place too long. The text is really about, a lot of people have preached the book of Acts about how the enemy has arose against the church. No. The book of Acts is really about how God uses the enemy to get the church to move. It's not all about persecution against the church. It's about how God allowed the enemy to do what he needed to do. I preached a message one time how God uses evil to work for his good, right? And yet you and I need to realize the book of Acts is really about God allowing things to happen in their life and allowing things to happen in our lives to get us to move. Sometimes some of the things that are happening in our life is to get you to move. Because you weren't listening. And you can look back now and think, yeah, I was ignoring some signs. Right? The Lord tried to show me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times or more, and I kept ignoring what he was trying to warn me of. And so then he sent some turbulence into my life, some trouble to stir me and get me up out of it. That's exactly what God did in the book of Acts. He said, I told you to go and wait on the Holy Ghost, but I did not tell you to wait after the Holy Ghost came. I told you to go. And so he said, now because you're waiting around on me to continue to do what I did on the day of Pentecost, and that's what they were doing. That's exactly what church people do. Whenever the Holy Spirit moves, we want to come back for an encore presentation. In other words, we'll come back for revival services instead of taking what God did in the revival out there. That's why revival was never meant to be inside the four walls of the church. This is how quick we miss God. It was meant for you and I to get moved and touched and empowered by the Holy Ghost to then take it out there. So much so that we can get a touch and a move from God so that we can help people and be there for our community before they know they need us. Take Jesus to them. And so when we're not listening, he'll allow turbulence in our life. Glory to God. So see, even when God uses the enemy to bring about change in our life, God is still in charge. He will sometimes use the enemy to bring about the change that you need to have in your life, but God is still in charge. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That was the instruction. To the ends of the earth, he said. And yet the apostles, the one who knew Jesus the best and the most, stayed. Didn't listen. Hung around. They got hung up in what God was doing. Got comfortable in it. There wasn't anything wrong with the city of Jerusalem. What was wrong was they were staying there too long. What is wrong with a lot of our churches, and if we're not careful with us, is that we'll stay in the same place too long. I'm not talking about moving your address necessarily. I'm talking about staying in the same place with God, where he's not growing you and moving you beyond, and you're not stretching your limitations. We'll sit and warm a chair for years and never believe that God wants to use us for anything more. We'll never believe that God has anything more for us to do. Hallelujah. But he does. They got hung up. They got hung up staying in the same place. Are you with me? Now, part of the reason I think they stayed there even way too long compared to where they should have was not because they loved it there. I believe they stayed there because it was the last place they experienced him. How many of you know that sometimes it's hard to let go of things in life once you've experienced it? It's hard to settle for our marriages in the condition they are today because we knew what they used to be. You know, once the honeymoon wears off and we look at one another and say, you know, sometimes I hate you. We don't say it, but we think it. I believe they stuck around because it was the last place they experienced him. In all of our relationships and all of our experiences, when you get to talking to people enough, they'll always talk about what was good when. Because often we're hung up on the memory more than we are what is happening right now. In other words, if we're not careful, we are going to miss the moment for wishing for what something once was. That's why we've got to enjoy the people that we're in now. Enjoy the marriage now. It may not be perfect. It may not even be full of joy, but enjoy the moment. Because if you don't and you keep thinking about how good it used to be, you're going to miss the right now. That's what the apostles were doing. They were missing what God wanted them to be doing right now because they were hung up on what he did. If we're not careful as a church, we'll get hung up on what he did last week. Last month, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and miss what he's doing right now. Hallelujah. In other words, stop expecting him to move the same way he always has. Stop relying on the same people doing the same things in the kingdom of God. And step up, because I serve a God that is moving and he's urging me to move. Because remember, if he is moving, why are you so still? Hallelujah. See, you thought I was going to preach down the house and make you hack and stomp and spit because it's Pentecost Sunday. Well, we're going to bring truth to you today. Because every time that the church of God experiences the fire of God coming from heaven, we hang around. What do we do in the summertime and in the fall when we have an outdoor thing? We have a bonfire. Why? Because everybody hangs around. That's what the church does. We just hang around for more. Wanting him to move like he used to. Instead of coming in, Lord, move in whatever way you want, from the back to the front. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm expecting the preacher's going to preach us happy today, why don't you pray, God, use somebody else? I used to say, Lord, move or move me. I used to pray that all the time. God, either you move or move me. Because if I don't want to get hung up and expecting an encore performance from you this week like we did last week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, are we worshiping God for who he is right now, or are we worshiping him for who he was? The apostles hung around waiting on what was to happen again and again and again. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing in our walk with God. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of that, that the problem can be that you can't love what it is for wishing for what it was. Don't get hung up on that. You've heard me say that before. Don't get hung up. Don't miss that. Don't miss your present wishing it will be like it used to be in any form, whether it's in your relationship with God or this church or your marriage or your friendship or your family. Stop wishing it was that it would be what it used to be. It's not going to be that. God is a moving God, and He is moving forward, and He is trying to take you forward. And as long as you are hung up on what it was and what it used to be, you are never going to be able to enjoy what it is and what He's trying to take you to. That right there, if you'd get it in your spirit, it would set somebody free. I must be preaching to a dead church. Because I'm telling you, if you would get a hold of that, it would change your life and your relationships. You would stop going back to dead relationships that were dead when you met them. Yeah, they're breathing, but they're dead for you. Meaning there's nothing there. We keep going back to the same people, the same types of things, the same kinds of situations, and it's dead. There's no fruit there. And yet you keep going back to it looking for the same fun and excitement and joy that you had when you were younger. It's over. That season is over. So stop acting a fool. I'm totally serious. But yet that's exactly what Jesus told the disciples. He told the apostles before He even left, don't act like a fool. Once the Holy Spirit comes, I want you to go. And yet exactly the thing that we do is we stick around waiting on God to move the same old way. Good God Almighty. A church that isn't moving . You know what it is? They don't have the graveyard outside the church. The graveyard's moved inside the church. I said that last week. The reason that they put graveyards around churches is because we didn't have far to carry the dead people. Because so many of the churches are dead, full of dead people inside. And if your church has a graveyard around it, save the letter. Oh, I'm hot today. I'm not interested in your opinion because it don't matter to me. Our churches are full of dead people. You wouldn't know dead inside the church from dead outside the church. They're all dead. Oh, come on, somebody. And so we've got to get a hold of the word. Of what the truth of what God was saying. He gave us a warning. Jesus Christ gave the disciples a warning in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. What's the purpose of power? To move. The whole reason my car has so many horsepower, and when that turbo kicks in, my God, look out. I'm telling you, I can smoke you. David, you just watch, buddy. A lot of people think, oh, it's just a four-cylinder. Mm-hmm. It's just a four-cylinder until my turbo kicks in. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, it's mean. But what good is it if it doesn't have any power? Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And for everyone who thinks they don't need the Holy Spirit or that it's not for today, that's exactly why you have no power to overcome anything. That's why your church is dead. That's why your preacher's dead. That's why there's no manifestation in your life. That's why you're not getting healed. That's why you don't know anything of the sort, what it is to be delivered or healed or even, for that matter, radically saved. Because, and how can I say that? Because how can they be saved without the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, there is no salvation. All you are is part of a club that makes you feel better about yourself, but hell is going to be and will be your reality. Oh, that's good. So for everyone who denies the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit for today, you have a one-way ticket. And it's not where we're going. Oh, hallelujah. I know I'm going to get some feedback on this one. Hallelujah. Because we don't want to, you know why we don't want the Holy Spirit in our churches? Because we have learned and we've realized that we can't control Him. And so pastors don't want the Holy Spirit to move because now they're no longer in control and now they don't get the glory and now it's not all about them and how good they are and then they can't ask the church for a raise because it has nothing to do with them. But as long as, see, when the Holy Spirit's moving, I have competition. Most people interpret the moving of the Holy Spirit like competition for the people on the platform. If that's what we believe and we have that mentality, you don't even belong on the platform. We don't even belong. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power. Power to do something. And he goes on to say, and you will be my witnesses. Right there. Power to witness. You know how I know most of our churches aren't interested in the Holy Ghost? Because throughout the entire pandemic, they've done absolutely nothing to be a witness. Instead, you shut your doors. You shut your doors and you did nothing. You didn't offer help, hope. You didn't offer a bottle of water, let alone prayer. Therefore, there's no power in that. None. It takes power to believe God for something bigger than you. It takes power because it's beyond you. It's beyond your resources. It's beyond everything that we have, everything that we do. That's the reason why people look and they think that I'm crazy and I've lost my mind. No, that's called faith. Let me introduce you. If I tell you, if I dare Brandon to do something crazy, like climb the top of the building without a ladder, get to the top of the steeple, and I'll give him $10,000, and I have $10,000 in my bank, guess what? That doesn't take faith. It doesn't take faith for me. It's going to take faith for him. You go and climb on that. I've been there. And that steeple is high, and it is not fun. It would take faith for him. It does not take faith for me to write that check. If I have it in my bank. By the way, I don't. So relax. It is not faith that is required when you already have what you're asking for. It takes faith when you're asking for something that you do not have. And no possible resource to make it happen. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, power to do, power to witness, power to believe. Because the Holy Spirit is about helping to bring to remembrance what he already said. When a message in tongues comes forth like did earlier, in part, yes, it's to encourage you, but it's to bring to your memory something that he already has said. To build your faith. To help bring you along so that you don't get hung up where we are. Good Lord. So stop loving what it was and wishing for what it used to be. Church is not going to be what it used to be. In the last days, church cannot be what it used to be. It cannot be. We cannot have church like we did in the 80s or the 70s or the 90s or even the early 2000s. Can't. That's not where God is anymore. He has moved on. He has moved on. And so must we. So stop expecting him to move like he used to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to fall out of love with the memory of what it used to be. Thank you, God. I'm going to fall out of love with the memories of what my marriage used to be. Come on, you've grown and so have they. Of course you're not going to love them like you used to. You know. We've got to remember the same way that we have grown and we have matured. The things you used to love about them, now they annoy you. Don't you think God often looks at you and thinks, man, you annoy me. That's why the Bible says he sits in the heavens and laughs. Because he's like, man, you better be glad I'm full of grace and mercy. Because love, because he's not loving you based on, he's not hung up on who you were. That's why grace and mercy is so important in the walk with God. I'm going to get off my message if I'm not careful. That's why the Word of God says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. That's how awesome he is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're reading in Acts 8. Do you realize Acts 8 is 8 years after the day of Pentecost? Acts chapter 8 is happening 8 years after the day of Pentecost. Those apostles hung around for 8 years waiting on him to move that way again. See, something that God only meant to be temporary, we'll often make it permanent. That's why you've heard me say, don't ever turn a moment into a monument. And that's what the church has done. There are things that were moments in your life. Do not make it a monument. So what, they left. So what, they rejected you. And I know that sounds lighthearted. It's not. You'll get over the pain, and then eventually you'll feel that way too. And then you'll be like, God, thank you for taking them. You'll think you're about to have a Holy Ghost fit. God, thank you for taking them. We used to be best friends. Now, thank you, Lord. You'll start dancing because you realized how toxic it was for you in that moment. And that's what's happened with the church, as we've been hanging around wanting God to move the same way over and over and over and over again. He's not there anymore. He's a moving God. He's not going to die on the cross again. We're not going to have a day of Pentecost like we were again. Instead, that has already happened and been made available to all of us. Stop expecting the leaders and two or three people in each church to get the move of the Pentecost and realize it's available to everybody. And if you're not seeking it, if you're not longing for it, good God, then you are standing still. And that's what the apostles did for 8 years, good glory to God. Stuck in the same place, hung up. You know what I've learned about being hung up? Is that when a church gets hung up, stuck in the same place, they will always come under persecution. People said, I need you to pray. I just don't know why we're being persecuted the way we are. Because you've been staying in the same place for as long as you have. So just like God allowed the apostles and the church, the new church, to come under persecution, it was to move them. That's why Paul later says, you know, later, after Acts 8, when he finds the Lord, he said, I count it all joy. Because he understood that God was moving him from where he was to where he needs him to be. And so anytime a church that isn't moving will always come under persecution. A marriage that isn't moving will always come under persecution, right? A preacher, no matter who we are, we will always come under persecution when we're not moving. What does it mean to persecute? It means to put to flight. Think about that. We think persecution is like when they talk about you. The reason they're talking about you and the reason God's allowing them is because God is trying to put you to flight, to move you. Let them talk. Celebrate them. Shake their hand. Go up to them and say, I thank you for talking about me. I thank you that you don't like me. See, you will get a lot further with God if you can learn to get that attitude. Because the Bible says that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to their purpose. Your enemies are working for you. They're not doing anything against you. It might hurt for a moment, but really what they're doing is advertising. Every person who complains or gripes or says something online about our church or about our distributions or whatever, thank you, free advertisement. We didn't even have to pay for it. You know, people have talked about and said things about me, and now I'm just like water off a duck's back. I don't care. Thank you. Thank you, because while you're not doing anything for God, I still am. There you go. I'm still here. In spite of persecution, in spite of what you said about me, in spite of the lies, in spite of the fact that you left, I'm still here. Here's your sign. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying that's a sign that God is moving and that he's in you, and you will get that attitude too. You need to begin to celebrate those who hate you. Thank God for them. They're working for you if you allow them. But if you keep sulking and moping around because of what they're saying or what they're doing, or because they keep reminding you what you did to them. Yes, I did. I did do that. And I said I'm sorry, but I've got to go. Because I serve a moving God, and he is not there anymore, and I'm not there anymore. I hurt you, I wounded you, but I'm not reliving that all over again. It's dead, it's buried, it's covered under the blood. Glory to God. I'm not going to get hung up in this stuff anymore. Church people tell me what happened to them 20 years ago. It doesn't matter. It's over. God has moved on from that. Good God Almighty. Leaders and preachers can't lead if they're hung up. That's why a church that isn't going anywhere, don't go there. When our church stops going somewhere or stops working towards something, I'm telling you now, find a new church. See, I just gave you a license to leave. And I won't even get mad. Because most preachers take it personal. No, don't take it personal. It's just that you weren't doing your job. Because if you're not leading people anywhere, the nature for sheep is to migrate. That is a sheep's nature. They'll graze. And if you're not leading them to green pastures, sheep will always leave. I don't know what's going on with my church. You quit leading. That's what happened. And so, naturally, sheep were designed to graze and to feed. There's a message in that. Glory to God. So, while the apostles were stuck, the enemy got to moving. You know what I've learned about this? If the church doesn't get moving, the enemy will start moving. When the church isn't moving, the enemy will start moving. You will always know a sign that the church is in trouble when the enemy starts moving more than the church. Oh, my God. I'm dropping some stuff on you. Maybe you won't get it till later. Maybe you're just too dead to catch it. But the point of the matter is that I'm dropping stuff on you that if you'll get a hold of it, the first sign that the devil starts picking his head up, you'll know, I got to move. I got to move, because when we're not moving, the enemy will. Because the enemy can always move among people who are hung up. Look back in your life when you were at your lowest, ugliest, nastiest self. And the reason we were surrounded by people just like us, and maybe we thought it was fun at the time or whatever, and then eventually we get to the point where we were so miserable we had no alternative but to get up out of where we were. But the reason that we were so messed up and hung up in that is because you will always find the enemy among people who are hung up. A church that is moving, you will not find the enemy there. Why? Because the Bible says that the enemy comes, he's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He's roaming, but I'm telling you that a church that is on the move, the enemy cannot keep up with. He's not interested in moving among people. Like in Acts 1:8, when he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. The enemy knows he cannot compete with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he's not interested in moving there. He'll try to do things to disrupt it and break it up. But let me tell you, the enemy does not want to come to church in a place where the power of the Holy Spirit is at, because you will put him on the run. But the enemy will come to church when the Holy Spirit is not in the house. And he'll sit right there. And he'll sit behind you. And he'll show up in the form of a Jezebel or an Ahab. But when you start moving, oh, the devil will manifest. And he won't hang around. That's why sometimes, literally, you just pray and you watch God move people out. Because they were sent on assignment from the enemy. But you got to keep moving. See, we're only dangerous when we sit still too long. There are people that are watching online right now. There are people that are going to watch us on TV. And let me tell you something. The reason things are happening in your life is you've sat still too long. People will watch and see a move of God happening, like last week. And they're like numb to it. And the reason is because you've sat still too long. You sat waiting on God to move and to meet you where you are. Instead, we have to realize that God is often calling us to him. He is a God that he will meet you where you are. And I'm thankful for that when he found me and pulled me up out of my miry clay, the Bible says. But he is also a God that will bid you to come to him like he did Peter. And so he's calling and you're waiting on him to move like he used to. Get up out of your seat and get to God. Good Lord. Yes. You just want to tell him, get up. Get up. That's what God's been saying to the church. Get up. You ineffective bunch of lazy so-called Christians, get up. I don't want to be a part of a church that is ineffective. You know what I've often said? When we moved from Briar Hill to here, you know, not everybody came. Now I'm glad you didn't. Because, oh, ye of little faith, see ya. Bye. I'll see you in heaven. But thankful we're not working together here, because you're driving me nuts. Listen, what I'm saying is, God, I told the church when we moved here that if we're going to move into Uniontown, then we better be able to make enough difference that if the church closes, the community feels the impact. If our church can't exist and can't make it and can't pay all the bills between here and the school and everything that's going on, and we close and nobody feels it, then we failed. Then we failed. You know how many? I wonder how many churches in Uniontown, if they closed, the community would even know. Most of you preachers in town, I don't even know your name, because I don't want to know your name. I'm not interested. Any more than I'm interested in you knowing my name. But the point of the matter is if the church closed, no matter how big or how small, would the community, would the city know? I can guarantee you one thing, they'll know if we close. Because that's been our passion and our heart, is that we're going to bring Jesus to people in whatever capacity and means that we have, whether that's food or whether it's clothes or whether it's love or whether it's putting an arm around them in the parking lot or whatever that situation may be. They'll know. When the food line isn't lined up 1.5 or 2 miles long, they'll recognize, hey, how come that church closed? Uh-huh. Why did it close? Why are churches closing at an alarming rate? Why are 70% of pastors leaving the ministry so rapidly? Some people that I know, pastors that I know, are pastoring 3 and 4 churches at a time. You crazy. You don't want to know why? The simple answer? Because the church is standing still. And the reason those pastors have to carry the weight of 3 and 4 is because of that church is standing still. Because there's no power, there's no demand. And so, they can preach 2 and 3 times a week. The reason, let me throw it out to you even deeper. The reason, oh Lord, I'm going to get in trouble. The reason our mega churches are holding services back to back is because there's no power. The reason you can have service at 10 and again at 11:30 and then one again at 1 is because there's no power. Shame on you. Who's going to get healed? Who's going to tarry until the Holy Ghost shows up? Tell me if we got to get the parking lot cleared out for the next wave. That's what we've reduced God to. Every pastor and board member ought to get on their face and repent before God because you've pushed God into a box to say you've got to move. And I know we try to get out at noon too, but if he comes in here like a rushing mighty wind, leave if you must, but he's going to come. But we put God in such a box that he has to move 3 times in a Sunday morning, burn the preacher out and the worship team because we've got to have a couple different ways of introducing the music to you so that you'll come and so that the church can exist and we can continue to pay our bills and give our preacher a salary and pay our band musicians and pay the custodian and everybody else. That's what we do, but we're not going to make a difference to the community. Good God, those are the churches that are not making a difference. I don't care how big. We don't ever have to get big. In fact, I don't want to get big. I believe the real agenda for a church is you reach a certain level and you break off and you plant another and another and another. Because when you get too big, you can't meet the needs of the people. That's not shepherding. The age of the mega church is dead. It's over. It looks nice. It's pretty. But y'all funny, too, when you CGI in the people in the balcony. That's not the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not. It's not the power of the Holy Spirit when I'm having multiple services just to get, you know, to say we run 3 services. Great, but who got saved? Who got healed? How many people were added? Who got filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Who got delivered? What drug addict did you help get off the street today? What homeless person did you feed? Who in the world did you give socks to? No, no, no. Oh, but we had 900 in church today. Shut up. I know I'm being bold today, but the truth of the matter is we are trying to be churches and have crowds and do things and have nice buildings, but what is your nice and pretty building without the power of the Holy Spirit? He said, I need to go. Think about Jesus said, I need to go so that my replacement can come. And you know what we've done with the replacement? The same thing the people that crucified Jesus did. We threw him out the door. Our churches are no better than the very people who crucified Jesus. Because you are not interested in the power. In fact, if you were alive, you'd have been one of the ones who crucified him. And yet, he said, I need to go. I need to die. On a cross, so that my replacement can come. A replacement that will give you power and abilities to trample on demons and scorpions. A power that will give you all authority over everything that would come against you. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Gives you power and authority. Because Jesus said, I won't be present to speak in your natural ear anymore. Watch this. He said, instead of me being with you, I'm going to be in you. Most of the churches in America don't have the Holy Ghost in them. Why? Because the Holy Ghost isn't in the preacher. I am not perfect, and there are days the Holy Ghost is not the one rising up. I'll be the first to tell you. But the day that we quit seeking and longing and asking, come Holy Spirit, I need you. The day that we stop acting and operating in the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost is the day that I will quit, just simple as I'm talking to you here. I'll walk out that door and I'll never take the pulpit again. Because I refuse to just be another church, to have its doors open, to be ineffective. Instead, I want to be a place that people, I want this community to know, and they know, that when they see me walk across the parking lot, this guy over here, that's why they watch. And when they see me and they say, hey, pray for my son. And the reason they know that to ask us to pray is because of being able to watch and see that we believe in prayer. And because when other churches who were here fought with them to stop parking in their parking lot, we took them food and we took them Easter baskets for their kids. And we said, what can we do to help you? And I said, I don't care if you park in the parking lot, just help me keep it clean. We loved them. And we introduced them, and they realized that we have the ability, and there's a belief in us that we believe that there's power in what we're doing. The moment that the power ceases, I'll cease to preach. That's the truth. Because then there's too many other churches like that in town of non-effect. There are pastors that I love in town. And I've had this conversation, but they're of none effect. Not helping nobody. Not being the church in Acts that said, go ye to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We're not being a church helping a Judea or Samaria if our neighbors don't even know who we are. And the only way they're going to know who we are is with the power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power to what? Power to effect change. The reason I don't waste a lot of time talking politics in the pulpit, and I know a lot of preachers do, and the reason they do is because they're not relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to effect the change. They think they can bring the change. Don't work that way. The reason I can't address social justice issues from behind the pulpit is because I have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Because He is the one who brings comfort. All will happen if I speak up is bring division. But He, Jesus, said, I need to go so the Comforter can go. Our nation will get it right and our nation will get whole when the church welcomes the Comforter back into the church. That's the truth. You will be whole when you welcome the Comforter back. You will. When you welcome Him back. Get out from being hung up from where you are and stand to your feet, will you? Join me. Stand. Come on. Hallelujah. We got to stop there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Whew. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us. I'm not going to tell you what you need to do. If for some reason you need to pray and repent because you've been hung up and not moving, you can do that here at the altar, or you can do it where you are. Maybe you just need to talk to Him. from where you are. Without any of the flamboyant ways of bringing forth an altar call, I just want to keep it simple. If we serve a God that is moving, why are you so still? Good Lord. Whew. Search our hearts, O God. Search our hearts, O God. Father, I come to you right now. Lord, I don't know. I pray that I brought the word that you told me to and brought it and did justice. Father, my part is over. And now it's up to you. Holy Spirit, come into this place. Draw on our hearts. And Lord, I'm not pastoring other churches, but I am this one. And God, draw us to repentance. Draw us and bring us to the place where we say, God, I want to be part of being an agent of change. God, everything about our vision and our mission right now is relying on your power. June 15th is about relying on your power, because I cannot in and of myself. This church cannot in and of itself do what you're requiring of us. But the Holy Spirit can. So, Father, my prayer today over this church is that as we prepare to leave this building, that God, that you would provoke us to move. Provoke us to move from being so still. Whew. Provoke us to be a church of change. My God. God, let us continue to be a house of prayer and a house where the power of the Holy Spirit can move and minister. Father, I pray right now that, Lord, for every person that you are drawing to you, Lord, that you will meet them. And that, Lord, they'll go from being still to moving. Father, I pray that every word I spoke today, it wasn't said to be offensive. It was said, God, with the boldness of God, who you've called us to be. And God, tricks are for kids. This is no trick. This is no time for games. You've called us to be a church on the move. And God, we will be a church on the move, not because of us, not because of who we are, but God, all because of who you are. And so, Father, I just pray now, Holy Spirit, that you will come. Stir us to be a place that moves. Stir us to be a people that we move in our worship, that we move in the preaching, that God, we move in our outreach, that God, we move at the school, that God, we move in all directions. Stir us that, God, we're a church that moves and gets motivated, God, to the 15-year-old boy who was shot just a block from this place. Stir us. So, Lord, let us just receive a sweet touch of your Holy Spirit.
right now. Whew. Just pause for a moment. That's the glory of God filling this room. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, have your way. God, finish doing the surgery that you're doing on the insides of people right now. Remind us of this word in the days ahead. That, Lord, every time we come with an expectation and the moving of the Holy Ghost. God, as we leave this place and we sign off the internet and we go about our day, God, will you bless every seed that is sown, every tithe that is given. Multiply it for this place and for your kingdom and back to your people. God, I thank you that people will go from struggling to striving and thriving because of their faithful giving. God, introduce them to the blessing and the abundance of who you are. Come on, God, show up and show off. Move us into the next dimension of blessing and overflow in our life. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. Jobs are opening up. Favor is coming. Because you've been faithful in few, he will make you ruler over many. God, we bless you and we thank you. In Jesus, your mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody.